In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
This is Roshan Johnson, and you're listening to Roster Watch. Ladies and gentlemen, citizens of the universe, this is Roster Watch. My name is Alex Dunlap. I'm joined by Cody Carpentier. I'm also joined by the Trash Man. And boys, it's a big day. Pumped to be back here on Monday for the Daily Show with you guys. Today we'll be talking about late round fantasy football draft picks, players to target. Should we be targeting on them? Should we be avoiding the risk of what it is that we're interested in when we're getting into the later rounds of our fantasy drafts, be it best ball or season long, or who knows? I don't know who you guys have come up with here, possibly towards the end of dynasty rookie drafts. So a bunch to get to today. Let's start with Trash Man. Who do you got, brother?
All right. First off, I have Marvin Mims of the Broncos. Pretty inconspicuous 2024 season, but he did end with his last two games, racking up over 50 fantasy points and 4 touchdowns over the last 2 weeks of the fantasy season. So, you see the trajectory start to, it was a major boost of the last little bit of the season, but it was a good spot to end on. And I think it'll be in a good spot to start this current season with a, second year Bo Nix and not too much other overwhelming competition at the wide receiver position there in Denver.
They didn't take a wide receiver in the draft, did they? They take Pat Bryant. So they took Pat Bryant, but then they also brought in
they had some undrafted free agents.
Yeah, they're
all donks.
And then they brought in I forgot they brought in A.T. Perry. I don't think that matters that much. I don't know, man. It's like here's the thing about this show, man. You guys probably need to get, at least for me, you're going to need to get the old barf bags out a little bit. I mean, these are late round players. I can't say that I hate on Marvin Mims. It's what Cody always said going back to that draft. Is this was a, I believe this player was this the first player that Jordy, what is the thing,
was it Brandon Cook's corollary? It was his first draft pick of the Broncos.
Super talented guy. We know, look, man, it's like, do you really have to close your eyes that much to see him being the wide receiver two in this offense over Devon Vele?
No,
I
think he could end up catching more balls than Sutton.
Well, it's just the one countervailing thing would be if there is some kind of continued connection from college between Troy Franklin and Bo Nix, if those guys operate in similar quadrants of the field whenever they're at their best. So, I can get behind it, I guess. What is his ADP?
His ADP right now,
And who's going around him? Like who's he like right around?
Bateman.
Okay.
Matthew Golden, Romeo Doubs.
I think I'd rather have Golden for sure. Certainly rather have him over Doubs.
Jalen Wright.
Yeah.
Isaac Redno, Jerome Ford.
All right. Cody, who do you got?
I'm going to move down a couple more spots. All of my guys are out to the top 120. That's kind of how I, deferred to late round is past round 10 in a standard 12 team. So I went ADP 132 to a rookie. I'm going to go Jaden Blue, running back for the Dallas Cowboys. Again, we've talked about Jaden Blue enough on enough shows, but when you look at this backfield, it's Javonte Williams, it's Miles Sanders. They brought in Jaden Blue in the fifth, Phil Maffa in the seventh from Clemson, Jaden Blue, of course, from Texas. They go out and add George Pickens on the outside. They got CeeDee Lamb, Jake Ferguson. They added to the offensive line. They bolstered everything up. I think this team's going to be top five in scoring in the NFL this upcoming season. And Jay Blue out of the backfield, catching passes. As long as this guy can stay healthy all season, in the 11th round, this is a quintessential rookie value pick here in the late rounds of all your drafts coming up. And I think this ADP is going to continue to climb and probably be inside the top 120 when we get to August.
He's going now mid second round in dynasty rookie drafts. You're drafting with sharp people.
He's up 41 spots in the last 3 weeks since the draft happened. So
that's almost as, that's probably not quite as much as RJ Harvey, but man, that's a big, big bump, dude.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. So we love Jaden Blue. Like we said, I love that he's wearing number 34. For the cow, he looks awesome wearing number 34.
I sure hope that's not a Darwin Thompson.
the whole Darwin Thompson, he looks so cool wearing number 34. He got the best landing spot ever. We're gonna bump him up 50 spots in ADP and go to dust.
Please don't have that happen.
All right, dude. Like I said, these are gross, man. These are guys that you haven't. I try to go with guys you haven't really heard me talking about a whole lot, as we've been doing all the rookie analysis so far, although I do have a rookie I'll talk about after a while. I'm going to start out with Hunter Henry, okay? Hunter Henry right now is going as tight end 22, okay? Tight end 22 on Underdog. We like Drake May. We think he's going to be good. We want pieces that are going to be connected to him moving forward. And if you just look at Hunter Henry last year with Drake May, so he's going as tight end 22 right now. He was tight end 13 with Drake May in fantasy points per game. He was tight end 10 in expected fantasy points per game, 10.6. If you look at fantasypoints.com during the games where Drake May started, and I excluded week 18 because you'll remember that was the Joe Milton game, right? I think did Drake May come in and play maybe for like a series in that one and then go out? Regardless, that was the Joe Milton game, so I didn't count that one. But I believe it was weeks 6 through 17 that I was looking at. If you look at fantasy points data, he was in their first read percentage, which I think is just an awesome stat. Like for tight ends, he was tight end 9 in first read percentage across the whole league last year, at 21.6%. Whenever Drake May was in there, he was Drake May's first read 21.6% of the time. He was with Drake May, he would have been tight end 10 in target percentage. It was an 18.3% target share and tight end 7 in air yards, so a 19.3% target share overall with Drake May starting. Right at 9.5 fantasy points per game. When Drake May was not starting, he was at 5.8 fantasy points per game. They did add some targets in. They've added in, I think most notably Stephon Diggs and the rookie Kyle Williams. But they added Mac Hollins, who's a run-blocking specialist. He's an absolute zero. They didn't take any tight ends in the draft. They only added UDFAs. There's zero competition as a pure tight end. They have Austin Hooper and they have Jaheim Bell. Really, that's it. There's no target competition there. They've added an elite pass pro running back in Travion Henderson. And when you have an elite pass pro running back, that allows the tight end to get out more often as far as his routes, less chipping. All the rest of it, the way I see it, Hunter Henry's probably going as far as positionally, you're taking 10 tight ends too early if you're taking them ahead of Hunter Henry. Trash man, back to you.
I'll go with another tight end. And that's Dalton Kincaid
To me, it seems like if based on what he's done production wise, it feels like, all right, I'll be interested to hear it. It's like, it feels like Dalton Kincaid's been frustrating, man.
Well, he has been frustrating, you know. But the thing was, what we found out is that he was playing, you know, through a torn PCL. And I think that had a lot to do with his usage last season. Only ran routes on
58. Wait, hold on. Ran what?
Ran routes on 58% of dropbacks.
Roots?
I mean, you say like, you can say root, route. It doesn't matter. Those are interchangeable.
Don't say roots on here, man. Okay. I guess you can say roots.
I like it.
Ran a root. It sounds kind of can.
Roots going on the bottom of the trash cans.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of come from an international family.
That's very true.
So Kincaid heading to year three, and year three usually is when
it's Trashman actually calls his aunt his aunt.
What's up?
He actually calls his aunt his aunt.
No, I do. I mean, look at like how you spell the word, but you throw me off on what I'm talking about here. That's year three for Kincaid. It's usually year three that tight ends, if they do pop, that they actually do. I just think the Bills haven't really done much at the wide receiver position at the pass catchers. And Kincaid, he's prime for a bounce back season in his third year.
I love the talent of him. I have him in some dynasty. I have him in some tight end premium dynasty stuff where I'm just like, dude, I took this guy way too early. Hey, I'm hoping for it just like you are, Trash Man.
Frustrating as all hell. I'll say that with the Kincaid stuff.
Now you can get him at a decent value.
That's the thing. When you said his name, I was like, is he really going that late? And then I pulled up, like, after Tucker Kraft. Okay, I guess we can have this conversation. So I don't mind it. I'll stay in the AFC. I'll go receiver though. It's going to be Cedric Tillman with the Cleveland Browns. Speaking of teams that didn't really bring much in, this team literally brought in two UDFAs. DeAndre Carter and Deontay Johnson. So pretty much nothing, if you ask me. So Cedric Tillman starting a wide receiver right now with Jerry Jeudy and Jamari Thrash, fifth rounder from Tulane last year. The biggest question mark in Cleveland, I think what's
– Is Jamari Thrash really slotted in to be the wide receiver three?
Technically, our lads has him ahead of David Bell and Cedric Tillman ahead of Michael Woods. That's literally the starting five. Like Carter will make the roster probably, but like Tillman, Thrash, Jeudy – Michael Woods, who I love, David Bell, third round pick 4 years ago, and DeAndre Carter. That's maybe one of the worst receiving cores in football.
You don't think Johnson's going to push him for targets?
I don't know if Johnson's going to make the roster.
I mean, I tend to think that Johnson's biggest problem doesn't come, you know, on the field.
Well, I know, but he's got to get on the field, right? That's the biggest problem. He's been on how many rosters? Four rosters in the last 12 months? Like if he can make it through camp, I think we'll have that conversation. He'll be an insane value, but I just
Johnson's cooked, man.
Yeah, I'm just not going to. I'm not going to attach myself to that much either right now. I get what you're saying, but I just there's too much risk in.
Where do you take Tillman, and who do you think the quarterback's even
going
to be?
Tillman right now is going off 155. He's up 10 spots since the draft. Who do I think the quarterback's going to be? I think it's going to be Joe Flacco on day one. And I'm not sure we're going to see either of these rookies unless it starts to get really sideways midway through this. Like if it's – which you could somewhat expect, but I don't really know what to have expectations for Cleveland right now. But if it ends up like starting 2-6 or something, I think you might start seeing a Gabriel or a Shador. But I would say it's going to be Joe Flacco from the jump and then potentially some Kenny Pickett in there. And if it's Joe Flacco – I think Joe Flacco is going to just feed Cedric Tillman, a guy that last year we saw kind of burst a little bit more onto the scene in a few games. And as far as how I see Cedric Tillman, the last part of the season, 8 catches for 81, 7 for 99, 6 for 75, 2 touchdowns in that game with 7 catches against the Baltimore Ravens. Like he shows some – there's a little bit of Nico Collins in there. And it took Nico a minute to get going. He's a third-round pick. again, he's 26 years old. They're both third round picks, both Power Five guys. I don't want to say that's the comp, but it's a similar career arc to what's happening right now. And Cedric Tillman, 154th overall. What's that, round 14/15 as the wide receiver one. I know people love Judy right now, but and in PPR, sure, I could see how you go Judy ahead of him, but I like Cedric Tillman. I think the upside's there. And for a late round guy that's probably going to be near the bottom of my roster and be some, you know, potential roster fodder, I want to shoot that dart on Cedric Tillman for week one and kind of see how the season starts.
All right. Hey, did you see it was the embodiment of why Stefanski and Andrew Berry, whenever they called in that pick for Shedeur Sanders, they looked like they were on such tilt, like the owner kind of made him do it. And it was the cockamamie Cleveland media was hounding Stefanski. You just saw this look on his face about why did Dylan Gabriel get the first snap of rookie minicamp?
Yeah, the media up there has been,
you know, and he's just like, well, he's like, well, I wouldn't look too much into it. They're like, it's like Mary Kay Cabot just badgering him, saying like, well, is he gonna get the first snap tomorrow? Like, all this stuff, is it the guy who got drafted first gets the first snap? Is he gonna get the first snap tomorrow? Stefanski's like, dude, this is the circus I didn't want.
This is literally the reason that they didn't. This is really the reason nobody wanted it.
The Browns need a circus. Put some pressure on there. I mean, it's come on.
They've had pressure on him for life. Trash man. You've seen that jersey they have at that thrift shop where it's just quarterback after quarterback with the names off the quarterback's names are now like they've had to start a second row of them.
Maybe some pressure would be good for him.
For who?
For the Browns. Turns them into diamonds, right? That's what you need.
Who's the pressure getting under? Stefanski or Shedeur?
Stefanski.
All right. Well, I feel like he's a good coach, man. It's like that's just a tough deal. All right. I'm going to go with this guy now because I want to go with I want to go last for my third guy because he's going to be the most unexpected and you guys would never expect this from me because this is just something I've just been digging into lately since the rookie minicamp started. So with this next one, I hate doing this, but I think Wandale Robinson's going as wide receiver 77. Okay. Wide receiver 77. He was wide receiver 13 last year in targets. He had 140 targets last season. That's more than Brian Thomas Jr. It's more than Tyreek Hill. It's more than Ladd McConkey. It's more than Jacoby Myers, Zay Flowers, Terry McLaurin, Marv, Mike Evans, DK Metcalf, T. Higgins. And yes, did he do a lot? Did he do much with him? No. I mean, we all know it wasn't efficient targets. But if we're talking PPR here, almost 7.8 targets a game. He was tied with Jackson Smith and Jigba last season, 7.8 targets per game. And so I just start thinking, I'm like, okay, his most likely quarterbacks are going to be Russell Wilson or Jackson Dart, right? I don't know how you guys feel about how this is going to start, whether Jameis comes into the equation, whatever. But I kind of think those two guys, right? So if you look at Jackson Dart, his slot wide receiver at Ole Miss was Caden Lee. Caden Lee was second on the team in targets and receptions just behind Trey Harris last season. He was ahead of Jordan Watkins, who most people kind of considered the wide receiver two last year for those guys. But Caden Lee had 874 yards on the season and a 120.7 passer rating when targeted, led the team in first down receptions. He had 38 of them. And you also just know that you know that Jackson Dart has been efficient targeting the slot. And you also know that a check down kind of wide receiver who can get open and has some wiggle and some burst to him, right, to get separation underneath, that just from a purely just you just kind of think about that as sort of a rookie quarterback's best friend, right? Like you kind of think about it that way, right? With Russell Wilson, if we're just talking about slot guys, we know he's good for deep passing. And as much as there was a narrative, there's been this narrative about how Russell Wilson would target his tight ends. And that was a big thing last year it's going to be so big for Pat Fryer. I mean, if you go back and look at it, Russell Wilson really hasn't. I don't know how that narrative got cooked up. It just hasn't been true over the course of his career. He's mainly targeted. Like he's mainly targeted his slot wide receivers. And I understand if you go back to Seattle, it's like, well, of course he did. He had Doug Baldwin. He had Golden Tate and Tyler Lockett and all that. And that could be a big reason for it, right? But even, say, like Pittsburgh last year, Calvin Austin scored 2.5 more fantasy points per game in the games when Russ started. Right? So it's clear that slot wide receiver is you know, it's I think for Dart or for Russell Wilson, it's not necessarily that these guys have been just total slot merchants their whole careers or whatever, but they've gotten good. They've been good and they've been efficient with their slot wide receivers. And with Russell Wilson, especially, he's got a long history with it. Granted, like I said, they were really, really talented guys. But Wandale, I mean, Wandale was a second round pick. He's still young, right? It's a contract year. He's still only 24 years old. The Giants didn't draft a wide receiver. We all know that Malik Nabers is an alpha, but it feels like that this quarterback situation is probably going to be an upgrade. We have Brian Daboll coaching for his absolute job here. I feel like, man, I saw a tweet where Wandale, he's from Kentucky. He's a big horse racing guy, and who's the one guy he took with him to the Kentucky Derby this year? Jackson Dart.
Jackson Dart. Ooh.
So I think that I think that going as wide receiver 77, that's around the same. He's sandwiched by DeMario Douglas, Amari Cooper, and Andre Yosivash.
Talk about misplaced.
That's depends on where Cooper ends up.
I mean, okay. give me Wandale over those guys. And then then you guys can finish up. I'll take us out with my last one because you guys are never going to expect this out of me.
Okay, I'll go next. I'll go deep. Roman Wilson, Pittsburgh Steelers. I mean, it's a clear path to him being the number two wide receiver there.
No, I love this.
No George Pickens. DK Metcalf is really the only premier competition you have. Robert Woods, has been. Calvin Austin III. He's good, but I don't see him as anything more than a situational kind of that kind of player. And so to me, then there's Roman Wilson, who was plagued by injury this last season.
And who's awesome.
And who's really good. I just think it's a prime position for him to step up and become the number two and maybe become the chain mover for the Steelers.
He can move up to the number two in that offense and get 4.2 targets a game. I'm playing, man. No, if things go well, like you said, man, super, super talented. I'm still wondering who's gonna throw him the football.
That's fair.
Will Howard, baby. That's got to be. I mean, I want Will Howard to be the starter. Sounds stupid, but that's what I want to see. Willman could be his Igbuka. I got two left, but I'll go here first. Will Shipley, 196th overall. Listen, dude. what's the first thing that comes to your mind?
Nothing.
the Kenneth Gainwell is gone, I guess.
Yeah, but how many touches did Saquon Barkley have last year?
A lot.
Do you know that number off the top of your head?
Oh, no. What is it?
378.
I'd say probably three something.
Going into his age 28 season, 378. This is pick 196. So this is round 17, 16, 17.
It's your last pick.
You know they got A.J. Dillon there.
I don't
know. Oh, God. Trash man, get out of here, dude.
What?
I think this is the one time whenever you trash man, you used to say stuff on the Sirius XM show. Like you would say, get into an NFL game and throw for 40 yards or that you would be able to, if you give trash man 10 shots to tackle Adrian Peterson in full gear.
I never said that
once stuff. Well, you said things like this. I legitimately think that that kind of hyperbolic thing, I think it's true by saying I think that you would be a better NFL running back right now than A.J. Dillon.
I mean, Will Shipley, well, in the Eagles offense, they have three, sometimes four, relevant players, and that's it. That's it. And I don't see that changing.
Well, but I think I think what Cody's saying is if anything were to happen to Saquon, you have absolute gold on your hands, and nobody's thinking about that in the same way that they do with other hands.
And, well, the thing is, I don't even know if Shipley takes goal line carries if that happens.
Well, you're always going to have an issue there with the tush push with goal line carries, of course.
If your argument here is that somehow AJ Dillon's going to get goal line carries in this situation, I think that's also equally as wrong. Like, they're not just going to be like, oh, Saquon's down. Guess what? We do the tush push, but now we're going to hand the ball off to AJ Dillon.
Hand it off to this oatmeal pants, just dust ball. Are you kidding me?
I'll get to it. I think oatmeal pants. I like that. No, but the whole theory here was literally just to.
He's listed at second on the depth chart.
On whose depth chart?
On our lads.
Okay.
Ain't no way. Is he really? He didn't take a snap last year.
Old Dan Shanka over at Our Lads, man. Is that guy still running the site?
Ain't no way.
All right.
I mean, listen, I think AJ Dillon's fine, but he ain't got the no. I'm a 196 overall. Give me Will Shipley with one of my last picks. I just want to put him on the bottom of the roster for the first couple of weeks. It's the Jordan Mason thing from last year. I just want to have him there for a couple of weeks until I can see that, you know, things are going to shake through the first couple of weeks of the season.
You got to find a one trash, man.
I have a few, but I'll go with my next lowest one. Well, actually, no, I'm going to go with the quarterback. That's Justin Fields. I mean, ninth round pick right now, and could bring. We've seen Justin Fields be a top five quarterback
in fantasy. Yeah,
I mean, that's what we're talking about. I mean, he's. I guess you squint. He's like a Cam Newton for fantasy under there, and he has that kind of potential, that kind of upside. So if I'm able to get that. You know, see who else is around him.
I feel like Fields ADP has come up a little.
Andre Stevenson, Tucker Kraft, you know.
What about for quarterbacks? What's around him?
Dak and Jordan Love.
Feels to me like he's probably he's definitely not priced for what his upside could be, but – the downside could also be pretty bad.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'd take him over Dak, but I think I'd take him over Love. That's intriguing to know.
I'm not taking him over Dak with CeeDee and Pickens and stuff.
But I think with Love, I think there's enough question marks, I think, with that offense.
This definitely brings a ton of upside, right?
Yeah.
Cody, anything else to get off your chest?
My last one is just I wanted to ask this question because we've been very high proponents of Xavier Restrepo on here, undrafted free agent out of Miami.
That was going to be the other guy I talked about.
Oh, perfect. So he's now with his college quarterback, Cam Ward, in Tennessee. His ADP is 215. And the question is like, is he going to make the roster? Has he got enough? Is it a shoe-in? Is he going to be the slot guy in the starting lineup? Is that going to give us some fantasy relevance? My question, and I'm going to turn it right back on both of you guys, is Tyler Lockett's 13 spots ahead of him. Are we going to get okey-doked by Tyler Lockett in this whole thing, being big Xavier Restrepo fans, stands? And is Tyler Lockett actually going to be the guy that's a pretty sick value at 202?
That's the reason I didn't mention Restrepo. That's why I went field instead. Is like, I just don't know if Lockett's
that's a good point.
Too high.
Like, I don't want that to be the case, but you know how the NFL can hurt you. You know what I mean? You're like, no, it's too perfect. It's Cam and it's Strep, dude. Like, that's what it needs to be. But you know, that's not always how the NFL does you whenever you're trying to, you know, put together your dream fantasy scenarios here. Right. So yeah. I think it's, gosh, I mean, you might probably got to take a side in that. And if I'm taking a side, I'm going to take the side of Restrepo, but it's not like both those dudes are going to hit. And it could be if Tyler Lockett comes in and he's a big hit, even through fall camp or whatever, Restrepo might not make the team.
Exactly.
So, all right, here's my final one. But, all right. I'm going to give you guys a few guesses. This is a rookie a rookie running back that you won't think that I'm going to choose. Cody, do you have any, you know, we've talked. We've probably talked for 1,000 hours about these rookie running backs.
Yeah.
Do you,
is it Gordon?
And it's one that you would never think that I was going to say. Do you have any guesses?
Is it Gordon?
No.
What's the context? You said, I think you said like, it's something that you came out of rookie camps with.
Yeah, well, my interest was peaked during rookie camps, and I was doing some research this weekend, and I'm having to make some changes to the Dynasty Rookie Cheat Sheet and the
Basketball
Cheat Sheet. Who?
It's one of these. It's one of two guys.
Who?
This is who I would say. So this is what I'm going to say first: Taj Brooks.
No, but we've been high on him anyway.
Is it? Is it the Indianapolis kid?
Nope. You're thinking of DJ Giddens.
Devin Neal.
Nope. That's not it.
All right, I quit.
Kyle Manongai. No. All right. Here and here's why. He got drafted by the Chicago Bears in the 7th round. He's free. You could take him with the last pick in your best ball or your season long draft. He's between RB21 and RB25 in rookie drafts right now, depending on where you look. Okay. I was watching the clips from camp. This is our job to watch these guys' interviews, all this stuff like that. You see him working. You hear the media talking about him a whole lot, and you see all the clips with him working with Eric Bieniemy. Eric Bieniemy, the running backs coach for the Bears, totally getting on him, working him super hard. You know that with that 7th round pick that. That is something where Eric Bieniemy clearly had input in that selection. Those are the kinds of rounds where you say, go to the running back coach. You say, who do you want? Who do you want? And that was the guy who he wanted. That's the area of drafts where you just lean on what they want as far as the profile, especially with somebody as experienced as Bieniemy, right? We're elite college stats. We're talking here, but never fumbled in college despite massive volume. He led the Big Ten in rushing in 2023 over guys like Blake Corum, Travion Henderson, Braylon Allen, this kind of stuff. He was second behind only Caleb Johnson in 2024 in rushing yards in the Big Ten, and he missed like 3 to 4 games. I think he went out in the USC game. So he was banged up there for, you know, I think it was 3 total games that he missed if you count the bowl game as well. But it was he missed a lot of that USC – I think it was the USC game. He was tied for 13th in forced missed tackles last year with Caleb Johnson at 66 overall. And just we're talking about a guy that averaged over his last two seasons 105.9 rushing yards per game, right? He fell in the draft because he had a terrible combine. But if you look at it, he had his 10-yard split was 1.54, which was 68th percentile. I think that when I went back and watched some of the film I didn't watch this guy closely enough. He does have he does have good acceleration, even if he doesn't have the best top end speed. And it just goes to, he was top 20 last season in all college football, designed rush attempts of over 15 yards per PFF, 211 pounds. He's plenty to carry the load. And I think that he just looks good out there in rookie mini camp. And it's a wide open depth chart for a super fueled running back production. And, you know, it's like you hear the Chicago media talking about when they talk about this guy. It's like they needed a running back, right? They needed somebody to team with DeAndre Swift and Roschon Johnson, who, whether you like it or not, they talk about him like he's just a short yardage back up there. Whenever you hear the Chicago media talk, they talk about him like he's just a short yardage back, right? And they haven't signed an established running back in free agency. They didn't draft one higher than the 7th round in the draft. Now, what they say is that could have been different if Quinshon or Travion Henderson would have been available when they – what was that pick? What was that, Cody? 39?
39, yeah.
Yeah, so the media there freely admits that that could have been the case if one of those guys would have been available. But here's the fact. Here's the fact. It wasn't. And they're talking about him like he could be – we're talking about an elite college producer here who, yes – tested badly at the combine. He's not going to comp well as far as his statistical comps to really anybody, but good vision, He had the good breakaway run rate, despite the fact that we don't really like the top end speed. I think it goes to show that acceleration, 68th percentile acceleration at the combine. And when I just think about a running back from Rutgers, look, I can't help but thinking about another seventh rounder, Mr. Isaiah Pacheco.